Hi, this is Andy Mills. I cannot take your call right now. Leave a message. I'll call you back as soon as possible. Thank you.
Hi, Chief Mills. This is John Malkin from KZSC Radio. I wanted to do an interview with you today or sometime in the next few days. I will call you again later, and I hope you're doing well. It's definitely a stressful, strange period, and hope you're healthy and safe and doing well. I'll call you later and maybe send you an email as well. Thank you. Bye. In 2017, an AR-15 military-style assault rifle was stolen from the Santa Cruz Police Department. Today you'll hear an interview with Santa Cruz Police Chief Andy Mills speaking about the gun theft and other topics related to policing and community safety. According to Mills, the AR-15 was discovered missing in May 2017, about 2 months before Mills took over as Chief of Police from now-retired Chief Kevin Fogle. The AR-15 rifle remains missing today and is part of a national problem of lost and stolen law enforcement guns. The Santa Cruz Police Department AR-15 theft was not made public, and some current Santa Cruz City Council members and the police auditor for the city learned of the missing AR-15 from me. Last week, the Santa Cruz Sentinel published a three-part series about the stolen AR-15 that I authored, which is available online without a paywall. This interview with Chief Mills was recorded in September 2020, and we also discussed the Black Lives Matter movement, Santa Cruz police purchase of gun silencers and sniper rifles, and the potential for adding new systems for community safety that replace some police with unarmed mental health crisis workers and EMTs, similar to the CAHOOTS program in Eugene, Oregon.
Andy Mills.
Hi, Chief Mills. This is John Malkin from KZSC.
Yeah, hey, John.
Hi. Do you have time to talk now?
I do.
Thank you very much. Do you mind if I record the phone call?
No, of course not.
Thank you. Thanks for making time to talk. I always appreciate that it's easy to get in touch with you and you call me back. Thank you.
You bet.
And I imagine I haven't talked to you in a while. The world has just turned upside down since March, and now there's these fires as well as the pandemic. So I'm imagining your job and your life are stressful these days too.
It's been a little busy, hasn't it, for all of us? But, you know, for our community members as much as, you know, your police officers and firefighters, it's been a testy first half of the year. Well, hopefully it'll get better.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping so too. And I hope your family and you are healthy and doing well despite it all.
Thanks, John.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you about is the continued movement to defund or abolish police and create new systems for community safety. You know, you've said really clearly recently that there are a lot of calls that you and the Santa Cruz Police Department would prefer not going to, and that you're not even equipped for. And, you know, people are really trying to generate some new ways of dealing with homelessness, dealing with mental health crises, calls. And I'm just curious if you would say a little more about what you're envisioning in terms of how that could work in Santa Cruz. And specifically, you know, I'm wondering if some portion of emergency calls go to a mental health crisis support group, something like CAHOOTS in Eugene, another portion goes to a group of unarmed civilian crisis workers like Nonviolent Peace Force, and Another portion is dealt with through restorative justice. In my mind, it looks like the calls that police would have to go to or armed people would have to go to are situations where there's active violence happening and to criminal investigations. So I'm just wondering, what kinds of emergency calls do you think police need to be going to, and how do you envision these new methods being incorporated in our community?
Well, you know, I heard a person describe it pretty well, and that is, you don't destroy the old stadium until you build a new one. And meaning that you've got to have some place for the people to go. And I think that's what many people, you know, with good intent are trying to do. And there's nothing in place right now other than a very small-scale, limited model, CAHOOTS, that has now begun and taken hold in a couple of other cities. But to do it on a massive scale takes a great deal of planning, takes law, takes policy, takes infrastructure to make those things happen. And I am 100% wide open for somebody to help us with a different model to respond to these very difficult situations, much like the one that we had Monday, where a man with a knife is threatening suicide. You know, so there are a lot of those calls, but not probably enough for a full-time person. So we had about, out of the, 100,000 calls for service that the police responded to or proactively did themselves. So about 60,000 of those, in other words, people called us for help. Of those 60,000, about 1,900 were for mental health help. And so is 1,900 enough for a, you know, you'd have to have a staff of, you have two on duty at a time with a relief factor of 2.5 persons with training and so forth. You're going to have a pretty large cadre of people to cover 24 hours a day. So that's where it becomes difficult. And, where a city our size is not going to have enough business, if you will, for just a small cadre of people. Now, maybe it can be combined with the sheriff's jurisdiction or with the whole county. But then your response times become very slow. And so all that has to be thought through and weighed out. And if we can come up with a model that works, like the CAHOOTS model, then I'm all in favor of us figuring out how to fund that, how to make it happen, how to ensure that people are safe in the midst of doing that, and improving the safety of our community for all members of our community.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that one of the really difficult aspects of this and kind of a wild card in our culture are the amount of guns that there are. And when people are angry or committing a crime or having some crisis, and if there's a gun nearby, it makes it, it changes the whole picture. I'm wondering, I don't know what you think about, like, how often do you think Santa Cruz officers are answering calls that are involving some danger or physical threat or physical violence in that moment?
Numerous calls per day. I can't give you a number right off the top of my head. Of how many, but numerous calls per day. If you look at about 1,800 calls a year for mental health help, that figures out to about, what, 3 calls a day? And some of those are violent. Some of those are people armed with a weapon of some kind, not necessarily a firearm, but I think in some people's minds that our officers are trained as some, you know, ninth degree black belt Brazilian jiu-jitsu who can just take on anybody, and the reality is that's just not the case. Our officers are frail humans like everybody else and can get injured, seriously injured. Now to take somebody maybe even with less training, with less equipment, and having them confront people who are violent either because they choose to be violent or they're in the midst of a psychotic break or a mental health crisis, you're going to get people hurt. And to get those folks hurt or put them into harm's way is pretty difficult. Now, maybe it's very possible that because they are not in a police uniform, that there is not a history of police interaction, maybe that will tamper down some of that interaction, and that would be wonderful if that were the case. But it doesn't take too many of those on a massive scale nationwide before you start getting people seriously injured, hurt, or killed. And that's what we certainly wouldn't want to see.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I understand that about 2 years ago, a weapon or weapons belonging to the Santa Cruz Police Department were taken, and I was wondering if you would tell me about that.
So how do we get to this, John, from talking about mental health and handling situations that are de-escalation?
I guess one way is that it's about guns in our community. That's one direct link. Another is it's something that came to my attention about the Santa Cruz Police Department that was interesting to me. So when I was thinking of talking to you, I was thinking of talking to you about this as well.
Okay, well, I'd be happy to address this with you and talk to you about that. But, you know, when we had discussed this earlier, my preparation was to talk about the de-escalation event that took place. This wasn't a free-flowing conversation, but I'd be happy to address these with you. A couple years ago, a firearm was stolen from one of our vehicles and has not been recovered. And this, unfortunately, does happen when people leave firearms in vehicles, and it shouldn't. And that was fully investigated, and appropriate discipline was given.
Can you tell me a little about the circumstances where it was stolen and what kind of gun it was?
Well, that happened before I got here, I have read the investigation, but it was numerous years ago that I read it. And it was an assault rifle, and it was, we don't know where it was stolen.
And the weapon is still missing?
Yes, I said yes. Mm-hmm. It has not been recovered.
And there must be some, you said there was an investigation about that and that there was some discipline meted out to what kind of records or investigation and what kind of discipline was meted out?
Well, you would know full well as a reporter that I cannot talk about discipline. That would be against the law for me to do so. But discipline was handed out. And it was a complete internal investigation that took an incredible amount of effort on the part of the people who were here at the time.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised to hear about this because I hadn't seen it made public. What do you think the reasoning is for not making that public?
Not making which part public? That it was stolen?
Yes.
I don't know. That wasn't, again, that was well before I got here, and I don't know why they chose not to make it public. I have chosen not to make it public because it was thoroughly investigated. It was handled, and when people have asked for the information, it has been made public and given it to those news groups that have asked for it.
And when did that happen? Like what month and what year?
John, I don't know that. It was well before I got here.
Huh. One thing that was surprising to me was I filed a Public Records Act request for information about this, and what I received was a note saying that no weapons have been stolen, misplaced, lost by the Santa Cruz Police Department in the past 5 years.
When did you file that, John, and who did it go to? Because I will look into that because I would want to make sure that you would have all the information that you need.
I got that answer, I'd say, roughly 1 month ago.
Okay, would you send it to me directly, and I will make sure that it's answered appropriately, because that is not the case.
Yeah, okay. I'll send you I'll send you what I received. And I was kind of assuming that they had, when I file a Public Records Act request and it involves the police, that they contact you. There's actually something in one of those emails that said that you had been consulted. It might have been regarding another matter, but it made it sound like when I make a request that involves the police, they consult you. It sounds like that didn't happen regarding this missing weapon.
It rarely reaches my level, John, because we get about 54 public record requests a month.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm surprised that they would consult you on anything at all, actually. But, especially if it's not relating to you directly, that would not make sense. You're right. The weapon that was missing was an AR-15. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I see in the expense reports for the police department that something called sniper rifle was purchased in January. Was that a replacement for that weapon?
No, that is not a replacement for that weapon.
Has that weapon been replaced?
I would assume that it has, yes. But that would have been, again, years ago.
How you're saying years ago, like you came to Santa Cruz about 3.5 years ago, I think.
Correct.
Are you're saying that this weapon went missing a year or two or three or 4 years before you came to Santa Cruz?
No, it was before I came to Santa Cruz, so it was more than 3.5 years ago.
But
I don't have the actual with me, because it's not something that I work with every day. So it was multiple months before I got here. I just don't know how much, John.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's something I'd like to know. So when I send you my note, if you could find out, that would be really helpful. And it sounds like just you told me a few minutes ago that you have conveyed this information to other members of the press. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes. I know that the Bay Area Media Group did ask for information on, as a larger scale event. So it better have been given to them.
The Bay Area Media Group?
Bay Area News Media Group, correct.
Hmm. Okay.
I just remember that one came through.
Okay. And do you know if the weapon was removed from a police car or from the police department?
John, I'm not going to go into the investigation. It was, like I told you, it was a personnel investigation and a criminal investigation because somebody stole a firearm. We can get you parts of the criminal investigation, and I can let you read the report.
Okay. That would be helpful. I'll send you an email so you can send me, you know, whatever, you know, extent of that you can share. That would be great.
Yeah.
Do you have concerns? I mean, what are your greatest concerns about there being a police weapon out and about?
Well, obviously, any weapon that is stolen out of a vehicle, regardless if it's a police weapon or a private weapon, I'm very concerned about, because that's going into the hands of someone who's committing a crime. And so when weapons get taken, regardless of the origin of that weapon, is a huge concern, particularly a police weapon, because now a potential adversary has control of one of our weapons, and that is distasteful, it's wrong, and that's why we take strong internal action against those things when they take place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for answering questions about that. I wanted to ask you a few other things. One is, I have the idea that maybe Santa Cruz police use this service called Yardarm, but I'm not sure, which would record when an officer unholsters their gun. I'm not seeing that that's true or not in, for example, reflected in the use of force reports. Does Santa Cruz use some sort of technology that that indicates when an officer unholsters their gun?
No, we do not.
Okay. Is that something you have strong feelings about doing or not doing?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of technology out there that would be amazing to have. It becomes a matter of cost. And for instance, we'd love to be able to, Taser's experimenting with the ability to have recording devices on the firearm anytime it's unholstered. There's alarms that can set off anytime the firearm is taken out of the holster. We don't have those yet. I'd be certainly open to that. We just have to find money, because they're in the process of cutting, you know, millions of dollars out of our budget. That money is not available right now.
Right. Looking at other things that the police department has bought in a recent period of time, there was something called a Griffin Armament M4SD, and I had to look that up, of course. It looks like it's a silencer that goes on a gun. Does that sound right? And if so, I'm just curious what police use silencers for.
Well, when you're shooting in close proximity to one another, it can ruin people's ears, as well as the tactical reasons for that. So that's what silencers or suppressors are used for.
Right, suppressor. I know they only call it a silencer in old movies.
Yeah, well, in movies, when you hear, you know, people use those things, and it just go, you know, it completely makes it silent. You still hear the bang. So it's not like the covert thing where you're trying to shoot people but nobody knows. Mm-hmm. That's just in movies.
Mm-hmm.
These things just muffle the sound a little bit, but you still hear the gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
John, if you have questions about the de-escalation, which you originally want to talk about, I'd be happy to answer them. If you want to do an interview on the rest of the stuff some other time, that's fine. But if you have the questions that you originally called about, I'd be happy to answer those.
These are all the questions I was hoping to talk to you about today. I apologize if you're talking about my phone message earlier today to you?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize if I made it sound like I had one specific alone topic. I normally don't, and I prepared for kind of a series of questions. So I apologize if I made it sound like I was just calling you about, shifting policing to, other community safety models. That was one thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Well, if you want to talk about the rest of it some other time, I'd be more than happy to.
Okay. Let's do that another time. I'll send you an email with the results from my records request, and I can get more information from you about the weapon, and then we can set up another time.
Great. Sounds good, John.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for calling me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to an interview with Santa Cruz Police Chief Andy Mills about the AR-15 military-style rifle that was stolen from the Santa Cruz Police Department in 2017 and remains missing. Although you heard Mills say that he would provide me with reports and other documents regarding the AR-15 theft, he later changed his mind and did not provide any documents. Mills did arrange for me to interview Santa Cruz Police Lieutenant Arnold Vasquez, who conducted a 3-week investigation into the gun theft in 2017, but was unable to determine when the gun was stolen or who took it. The interview with Lieutenant Vasquez will be broadcast on KZSC in the coming weeks, as well as other interviews related to the missing AR-15 and the fact that the rifle remains missing and the theft was never made public by the police department. My 3-part series on the SCPD stolen AR-15 was published last week in the Santa Cruz Sentinel and is available online. The AR-15 was originally manufactured by Armalite and is now produced by Colt. The AR-15 is the civilian police version of the U.S. military's M16 rifle that was the standard issue weapon during the U.S. war on Vietnam. In addition to the AR-15 Armalite rifle, some of the other military-style gear that the Santa Cruz Police Department has include an armored personnel carrier, flashbang grenades, grenade launchers, and sniper rifles. You're listening to KZSC Santa Cruz, 88.1 FM, KZSC.org.